The views and opinions expressed by individuals on the following program do not necessarily reflect those of the network, Guys Guy Radio, and its platforms.
It's Guys Guy Radio. Here's your host, Robert Manny.
Welcome to Guys Guys Radio. This is your host, Robert Manny, welcoming you to the place where men and women can be at their best and everyone wins. Guys Guys Radio. We're here to inform you, inspire you, empower you, and get you to think, feel, and who knows, maybe even act by virtue of the journeys, stories, experiences, and insights of the guests I bring you each and every week to the show. Once again, this week is no exception. Today, we're going to discuss ET disclosure and technology with an emphasis on the planet Thiaouba. Wow. My special guest, his name is Samuel Chong. He's a court reporter and now an attorney up in L.A., and he has followed Michel Desmarquet, who wrote this book, The Thiaouba Prophecy, back in the late 80s, early 90s, and it's about his being abducted from his home in Australia, where he was a landscaper, and taken on this ship, he claims, to this planet across the galaxies that's in the ninth dimension called Thiaouba. And the Thiaoubans introduced him over a nine-day period to their customs, to their how they live, how they work, and so much more about what's going on and has been going on in the galaxy, including the origins of planet Earth, a lot of information about our dogma, if you will, the beings themselves. They were very tall. They're a combination of male and female. They travel all around the galaxy, observing and helping various planetary civilizations. They claim to be at a level 9 in terms of evolvement from a technology and a spirituality and consciousness standpoint. And they have a lot of commentary that they wanted to share with their abductee, Michel Desmarquet, about what's going on there, what's going on here, over a 9-day period before they brought him back to Earth and kind of did a restored the time for him. And since then, he was aided by them to write this book, The Thiaouba Prophecy. Now, Samuel got very interested when he read this book, to a point where he actually traveled to track down Michelle, who had moved to, I believe it's Vietnam, and they met, and Samuel has been on a mission to get the word out on what the Thiaoubans have shared with Michelle and share throughout this fascinating book. The book itself is very interesting. It's very clearly written. There's no way some regular guy who's never written before, I believe Michelle was a landscaper, could have just, you know, cranked this out. It's really polished, and it's an amazing story, and it gets into all the history of Earth. It backs everything up. You can say, well, I don't believe that, or I believe this, I don't believe that. That's up to you, but they connect the dots very well in this book, and I enjoyed reading it the first time a few years ago when we had Samuel on the show, and I enjoyed it reading a second time to have him back this time. And really what Michelle, the author, suggests is to really grasp everything in the book, it's recommended to read the book 3 times. Now, I'm sure every author who puts out a book wants you to read his book 3 times, but in this case, I think it might be worthwhile because I got a completely different take on a lot of the material when I read it the second time. Anyways, we're going to talk about so much about what the Thiaoubans shared with Michelle, and Samuel really has spent the last couple of years really just promoting this book, getting out there, really rationalizing and helping connect the dots for any type of subject matter that's covered in the book. That could be, you know, the tomb of Jesus in Shingo Village, Japan. What happened when Jesus, in those missing years, the disappearing space needles that were sent up in the Project Westford in 1960s. He gets into Exodus and Moses and the parting of the Red Seas. And this is all through what the Thiaoubans shared with Michel Desmarquet. They've got some warnings to us about our obsession on Earth here with material wealth instead of spiritual knowledge. They claim that we're headed in a direction that many failed civilizations have gone that's led to a nuclear holocaust for the planet. So hopefully that's not going to happen here. And that once again, the solution for all of this, according to the Theobins, is to enhance one's spirituality, and it's all about the love. So it's a fantastic conversation. I think you're really going to enjoy it. Samuel Chong, my special guest on Guys Guys Radio.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
It's Guys Guy Radio.
Okay, Guys Guys Radio, it is the interview portion of our show, and today we're going to talk about extraterrestrials, but in particular, we're going to talk about the Theobald Prophecy, which is a book about a group of extraterrestrials who are in kind of like what I would call, I guess, like the ninth dimension. And my special guest is a return guest, Samuel Chong. Let me tell you a little bit about Samuel first. He's a court reporter, translator in L.A., who's worked on books about alien abductions and prophecies. And he's translated the book we're going to talk about today, Michelle Desmarques' Theobald Prophecy, and also H.M. Soule's 334% Lies, which has appeared, and he's appeared on Coast to Coast to share his insights. The second book is about the Illuminati, I believe. Is that correct, Sam?
Yes, that's right.
Okay, so welcome back to Guys Guys Radio, Samuel Chong.
Thanks for having me here.
Okay, so we spoke about 2 years ago when we went through kind of a top line of the book, and there's so much information here. It's a pretty fantastic journey that the author, Michelle Desmarques, goes on when he is visited in Australia by some ETs. They take him off in a ship, and they travel across the galaxies, I think nine dimensions away, and he spends 9 days with them, I guess 9 Earth days, and then he's returned, and he is told to write a book. Now, he's not a writer, he's just a regular guy, and they bring him up there and show him so many things that is mind-blowing, and since then, the book was written about 20 years ago, 30 years ago now, Sam?
Yeah, 30 years ago.
And he had trouble getting it published. And Sam's been on the trail trying to get exposure for this book. And he actually went to meet Michelle before his passing a number of years ago. So tell us about how you got involved and found out about the Theobald Prophecy and how you met Michelle.
You know, I always had a very curious mind. I wanted to find out who built the Great Pyramid of Egypt, for what purposes, what happens in the Bermuda Triangle. And I thought if the ETs could come and visit us, they must have advanced information and knowledge. We can just learn from them. So in my subconscious mind, I was always looking for information or books written by ET contactees. So I learned and I did search randomly on Amazon, and I found this book back in 2014. And I checked it out, and I found the book to be fascinating, with specific verifiable information that I was determined to track the author down in order to find out more information that he didn't put in the book.
Now, what happened when you looked for him and tried to track him down, and actually we went to Australia to meet him?
No, at that time he was actually living in Vietnam.
Okay.
I didn't know exactly where he was living at that time, but there was a tourist who accidentally found him and took a picture of his bungalow where he was living and posted on the internet. And I downloaded the picture and printed it out and flew to that Vietnamese city. It's actually an island in southern Vietnam. And I showed a picture that I printed out to the local taxi driver, and the taxi driver took me there.
And how was what happened when you two met? Was he welcoming, or was he, I'm sure he probably was skeptical, like, what are you doing here?
I mean, he was a little bit annoyed. He was a very private person. He didn't want people to look for him because of the book. But then, you know, I asked him a lot of questions. He just asked me to read the book a few more times to get the answers. 2 days before I was about to depart, he showed me a contract he signed with a Chinese publisher. He wanted me to follow up because he received $2,000 from the publisher, but never heard back from them. He wanted to see if they got the book published. It turned out that they paid him but didn't want the book to be published because of the fear of the censorship. And he asked me to find a different publisher, which I did. And then he invited me back for the second time and told me the information.
Wow. And what was your, why do you have to read the book three times, which is mentioned in the book?
Because the book is a very dense book with a lot of information that people will overlook the first time that they read it. The first time I read it, I overlooked a lot of information. And also each time when I read it, my focus shifted. The first time I read it, I was more focused in the content about Jesus and Christ. And the second time I read it, I was more interested in reincarnation and past lives. And the third time, I was more focused on the solutions to the current day problems, which is nonviolent resistance.
I noticed, having read it twice now, that I got a very different take on it the second time. And it was like I hadn't read the book before for some reason. I'm wondering, do you feel that the book is charged in any way in terms of, with the intention of the channeling maybe of the Tiaubas to put into the book some type of charge for when you read it that there's like a, I don't know what you would say, I don't know the right word for it right now, but some type of thing that comes over you where you're...
The vibrations might be different.
Yeah.
And yes, indeed, when I read a book, I feel a different sense, kind of a feeling. I feel calmer and also into a certain state of mind that actually brings me into the perspectives of the author. So each time I read it, I get that kind of feeling. And also think that the author, in order to squeeze in a lot of information, he kind of just like went straight to the point with so many points kind of put together and connecting all the dots of the paranormal and also the realities. So I think the book is charged in a sense that it deserves special attention.
And you get some type of the word I was looking for is attunement while you're reading the book. It seemed like that. Now, the question I would have is, Michael, he's not a writer, yet this book is very well written. How did he manage to remember everything that happened to him? He wasn't taking notes. The 9 days went by very quickly, and he's got a lot of very specific details. It's like he missed nothing. Did he get help from the Tiaubas Ubens to in writing the book, do you think?
Yes, I think he received help. Actually, it's written in the postscript. After he came back, he slept for about 36 hours or so straight. And then after he woke up, he told what happened to his wife and his son. And then afterwards, he began writing. Sometimes he would forget the details. And then suddenly there's kind of like the information, just like the information was downloaded to him. He would have the visions, have the memories brought back to him. And he would write very quickly and just documenting and describing the scenes when he was on the planet.
So let's get right to it. So the first part of the book is really about he's getting there. There is a being, Theo, I guess the name is. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. And very beautiful individual and who he thinks is female, but finds out that the whole planet of Theoba is hermaphrodites. They're kind of like a blend between male and female, if you will, just they're beings. What was the planet like when Michael went there? Tell us a little bit for our audience, like what he was taken on a spaceship, he sees Earth go away, he's transported, obviously he's fearful initially, They are very calm in how they deal with him, and they bring him to their planet.
So he felt great compassion and love when he was with the people or Tao on their planet. And they look like Nordic people, like angelic looking. They're 9 or 10 foot tall. They are extremely beautiful and well shaped. And they can perform all the miracles as performed by Christ. So they communicated with him through telepathy. They can perform levitation. They can materialize objects. They can actually read Michel de Marquis's mind and project certain images onto him when necessary. They are just like omnipotent beings. And they never age. They're forever young looking, always in their 30s, because they, according to them, they can generate their body tissues at will, and they can control their birth. And they told Michel that, or Michael Michel, that they can download information from each other. So they don't need to memorize textbooks. They can just get information from their colleagues directly, just like from downloading information from brain to brain.
And they give him, Michael, kind of a history of the our planet, from its origins right up to what's happening now. And it seems like our planet is similar to a lot of other planets that have gone through technological advances and that led to some type of nuclear destruction. And we might be on our way to that. And it's been talked about, discussed, maybe that's what happened with Mars, et cetera. Tell us a little bit about how they explain kind of the history of Earth and the dangers that we're in right now.
So different kinds of people came from different planets. The blacks and the yellows originally came from a planet called Bagratini, in which they coexisted for millions of years. They had confrontations on their original planet and a nuclear war. And then after a nuclear war, they learned their lessons, and they focused more on their spiritual development and helped each other out on their planet. And then because their planet was cooling down from the core, no longer able to sustain life forms, so they had to migrate their people to Earth. So the blacks came to Australia, what's now today's Australia, and the yellows landed on what's now today's southern Myanmar. So, and then they survived on Earth through different challenges and also things that happened in Africa when the blacks migrate to some of their blacks migrate to Africa, and then afterwards, about 250,000 years ago, the ancestors of the Polynesians came from a different planet called Arimo X3, and they established very successful civilization on the continent of Lemuria for a long time, until 14,500 years ago, when the entire continent sunk into the ocean because of an earthquake. After the Polynesians came to Earth, the Caucasians came and landed in Atlantis, and then some of them migrated to Northern Europe. And then
Where did they come from? Where did the Caucasians come from?
It's not told in the book. Okay. People ask Michel de Marquis about the whereabouts of Caucasians, but he never gets an answer. I don't know why, but
one other thing. Go ahead.
But the interesting thing is about the Jewish people. They came the latest, about 12,000 years ago, on a different planet of a different category called Hebra. And it told about the history of the Jewish people and then how they survived on Earth.
It's fascinating. And it's not exactly how we have heard our history, of course. And you have to take a little bit of a leap and start out by saying, like, what if? And when you do that, there's a lot of support for the things that Michael says and writes in the book. That's correct, right?
Exactly. Especially the details in the book. For example, how he described after he went into their spacecraft, they disinfected him using yellow light and blue light. And it turns out that Harvard Medical School had a study and showing that blue light had antibacterial effects. And also the details of Christ. There's a tomb of Jesus in Shingo Village, Japan, that people can still visit, and describes why Jesus never performed the miracles before the age of 30. Why some people say that he went to India, why there's a tomb in Japan, and why Christ, who began after he began preaching, was able to perform miracles, and how he died on the cross and resurrected 3 days after, and just to teach people about spirituality and reincarnation. And then for some reason, the concept was removed by the Catholic Church Council meetings.
It's amazing because they talk about how the ETs, how the Theobans had shown up, have come to Earth many times, including at that point with Christ, where he went off to India and Tibet and Japan, and they had a, I don't want to call it a surrogate, but an astral body that went into somebody came into the physical body of Jesus. That's what they claim. And that's the one who was crucified. And then the Theobans claim that they moved the rock and took him out of there. And that's how the resurrection occurred. The same, the details of the story are different, but the message is the same about we're living the wrong way. We need to be more loving. And it seems like the core message is be careful with money and technology, because they could get society and cultures in big trouble.
Exactly. And it listed the four real dangers on Earth. Number one being money, because everything we see nowadays is evolved around money. The pharmaceutical companies, the energy companies, including the education system. And number two is politicians. And we know this doesn't need explanation.
Right.
Number three is journalists and drugs, because drugs affect our physical, our astral body negatively. And journalists, if they focus more on the negative sensational news, it kind of damages our psyche. And number four is religions, organized religions, because they distort the original teachings of Christ and spiritual masters. People can just look inside for answers. They don't need an intermediary agency to find answers. And because when God created us, it inserted a tiny portion of itself to each one of us. So we can connect to God just by praying, by having a meditation, or just have a good night of sleep in dreams. We should look inside for answers. And the kingdom of God is within you. That's the verse in the Bible.
So there's a lot of similarities. Just the detail and how the story came about is a little bit different. It's a real eye-opener, but if you connect the dots, it seems to work together. My special guest on Guys Guys Radio is Samuel Chong. We're talking about the book, The Theiuba Prophecy by Michel Desmarque, and it's just fascinating. So where exactly is Theiuba?
Theiuba is actually in our Milky Way galaxy. I don't know how far it is, but in our Milky Way galaxy, there are three category 9 planets like Theiuba, who kind of guide people who live on lower categories of planets. We are currently living on category 1 planet, which is the lowest category. We are just like elementary school students, and they're just like college professors guiding us to the right direction. They have in the past intervened and guided us. For example, they were responsible for the destructions of the two cities, Sodom and Gomorrah. They were responsible for leading Moses, helping the ancient Hebrews out of Egypt. They used a special force to part the Sea of Reeds, not the Red Sea, but the Sea of Reeds. And they gave manna to the Hebrews so they can survive during their journey to their destination. And they were responsible for the birth of Jesus and Christ. And they actually helped the U.S. government during World War II by preventing Germany from being the first country to develop the atomic bomb, because they believed that the U.S. government at that time was more sincere than the Germans in ensuring and protecting individual liberties. And things probably have changed now, but I think they sometimes intervene and help us indirectly and directly.
Okay. And as part of that, the obvious question comes up, well, how about the two bombs in Japan? And they claim that, you know, ultimately it saved more people. But you've got to think, if they're so advanced, and I had a couple of questions when I was reading the book. One was, couldn't there be another way, instead of having this horrible destruction of those two cities in Japan, to prevent more lives? It seems like that's kind of like a government position. And the other thing is, they were all about, you know, preservation of life, yet it seemed like they ate meat, but in forms of like a distilled down version, and little items that they ate that would keep you, had a time release nutrients, but it seems like they still were eating animals and fish, etc. Talk to us about those two things.
Okay. They, according to them, sometimes intervene directly and indirectly. For example, when they couldn't find a single spiritual person in the two cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, they destroyed the two cities because they're just like cancer cells. And to prevent them from growing and spreading to other parts of the body, and to prevent the people in the two cities damaging the psyches or spiritual development of others who were in contact with them, they had to destroy the two cities, removing the cancer cells or the tumors. And during World War II, you know, I did some research. There was a German scientist called Dr. Heisenberg, who was far more advanced than the American scientists in developing the atomic bomb. But for some reason, he made a very stupid mistake that he shouldn't have made. And he wrote a report that was delivered to Hitler. And Hitler read the report, and believing that Germany at that time didn't have the sufficient natural resources to develop the atomic bomb, so he gave out a plan. And so they kind of intervene indirectly, because everything has to run its course. And Hitler has to learn his lessons, because after he dies, he had to kind of witness and experience all the pains and sufferings of the people he hurt and damaged. And this is like a natural evolvement. We have to learn our lessons. We have to run our course in order to experience and gain the spiritual insights when mistakes are made. And by preventing Germany from being the first country to develop the atomic bomb, they think that they kind of prevented two-thirds of the people from dying and saved about two-thirds of the people. If they kind of assassinated like Hitler and just preventing him from like making the decision to kind of invade other countries, then Hitler's, the astral body of Hitler would still have to continue the journey and to be born in a different physical body and to continue the lessons that he couldn't finish or didn't finish, and to finish the lesson he had to learn. So they just couldn't kind of kill a person and to prevent a war from happening. They have to help indirectly by teaching the principles of life and the spiritual principles in order for things to turn to the better. The second question...
It was about the food.
The food, yes. They do eat meat, and they kind of like fish. And it's like... they say that the human beings are special because we have sparkles of the Creator. When the Creator made everything, they made human beings as a special form of physical body so that it can experience everything that we experience. We send feedbacks to the Creator, the great ether or God, because we have a tiny portion of God itself. So in that sense, human beings are able to kind of send a feedback to God. And we have 9 different bodies, not just a physical body, but also astral body and psychotypical body and other bodies. And animals, most animals only have like 3 bodies or so, like an ox or a cow. It's by nature that there's a food chain. Like they have to survive by eating certain kind of food. And human beings, by nature, we are to eat animals and also meat as well, in addition to fruits and vegetables. And this is kind of like a natural evolvement. But we should only take what we need. We should not take or waste a lot of food or animals.
Understood. And when they talk about the problems with money, it's really not about money itself, because money is kind of an exchange of energy in certain ways, but it's about the devotion to money, the putting money on a pedestal above human life and about respecting other human beings, correct?
Yes, they say that money is kind of problematic, and actually they took Michel de Marquet to an ancient civilization on Lemuria about 14,500 years ago, where Michel de Marquet saw they lived without money. Everyone just took whatever they needed on the market. No one took advantage of each other, and people lived very happily, helping each other out. They have they had advanced technologies, actually in ancient civilizations, money didn't exist. But since the invention of money, people craved more and more for power, for wealth, and that kind of damages the spiritual development path. And actually, the when we die, we cannot take away the material wealth.
Of course.
And Napoleon, being a great leader, he conquered a lot of territories. After he died, he didn't take anything away from him. So we should focus more on the important thing, the spiritual side of
it. Another interesting thing was they said that noise is a real noise pollution. Pollution overall on the planet is an issue, of course. But they specifically mentioned more than one time that noise and there's a vibration with noise. So you have to be careful as to, I think, what type of media you consume, what type of music you listen to. Talk to us about that, Samuel. What did they have to say?
Yes. Yes, we have our physical body, and we also have our astral body that's composed by electrons. Noise damages, certain kinds of noise damages electrons of our astral body. So it's just like on television, we have electron interference, electromagnetic interference. The pictures get distorted. So similarly, if we damage our astral body, then it's going to affect our future reincarnations. We're going to have less psychic abilities or psychic powers when we reincarnate in our future lives. So it's okay. I think it's okay to damage our physical body because we only use it as a tool in this lifetime. But when you damage your astral body by certain kinds of noise, which a lot of people don't know about, it's going to damage your future reincarnations.
Let's get back to the book for a little bit more. We talked about Jesus. We talked about technology. We talked about how they get food. They also had something that I thought was pretty cool. The way they got around was similar, and this was throughout the book, where there's a lot of their behaviors mirrored things that we've seen on Earth in the past. Like they got around on what I would consider kind of like a flying carpet that they controlled kind of telepathically. Talk to us about some of those other things where we're actually doing that or we have done that, like the Easter Island statues, things that make sense. But when you're reading it, you're saying, oh, wow, that's really out there. And then when you put it together, these things have happened on Earth.
Yes, like the pyramid, the Easter Island statues of Moas, they were actually built using anti-gravitational technologies and supersonic vibratory system to cut the huge stones in a very precise manner. And this is a technology that we had in our ancient civilizations, and also the Theubans also have. This is why when they move around, they use the same technology to neutralize gravity and use a special force to move around. And I think they say that we actually have this kind of technology nowadays because of the special interest groups. They prevented this from being commercialized. So this is their wake-up call. I mean, we use petrochemicals, we use the current energy that's really not environmentally friendly. And we should change it using like hydrogen engines or this kind of technologies to improve our environment. And they do have other kind of technologies and mostly kind of esoteric beliefs or systems and to take people to their past lives. We can do that through kind of past life regression using hypnotherapy, but they can just do that using their intention. And they have all this kind of miraculous abilities.
A lot of the things they're doing and they explain in the book are things that are happening, are available, or have happened in the past. The reason I mentioned like the flying carpets is that's part of mythology from the Middle East of people flying around on carpets. Where did that come from? And then you see the, you know, drawings of spacemen on the walls in some of the caves. Where did that come from? So apparently they've been here and out of here many different times. Do you know, or did they mention anything about their interactions with other highly evolved beings like themselves?
When Michel de Marquet was on their planet, they showed him 147 corpses of ETs from different planets of a lower category. And they say that those corpses were people who were like very important in their course of events in the history, just like Jesus Christ.
He was the only human out of that group that they had.
Right? Yes, exactly.
So
yes.
Why did they have? I didn't quite understand why they kept the corpses, as it's claimed in the book, of all of these influential people or beings from all different planets across the universe.
Because in the Milky Way galaxy, there are three Category 9 planets, like Theuba, and each planet, each Category 9 planet, is in charge of different area or locations of planets which are evolving. So they are like just mentors in charge of a different geographic area. And the Theubans are in charge of us. So this is why they have been involved in our history in the past.
Now, when we hear things about, you know, the Galactic Federation, are they part of that? Because it's not mentioned in the book that how they work as a council with any other beings, but you hear about that now all the time, that there's a federation and they're looking at Earth and talking to each other and all these different types of beings, but I never see anything about the Theubans.
Right, the Theubans don't mention anything about the Galactic Federation. To those people who are into Galactic Federations, ask them about the specific verifiable facts that people can validate and verify. But this book, Theuba Prophecy, contains a lot of the specific verifiable facts that people can validate. And I think it's important to know what's real and what's fantasy.
Very, very interesting book, The Theuba Prophecy, Theouba Prophecy, ET Technology, The Meaning of ET Life, ET's Friendly Warning to Us, and just an amazing book by Michel Desmarquet. And Samuel Chong is really taking the lead in sharing this message, because really what it's about is the message. And although the beings from Theuba, they perform, according to the book, godlike behaviors, they also are not God, but what they do may seem godlike to us because we're at a lower portion of the dimensional food chain, if you will. So we could see some of the things they've done is like, oh, God did that. But they also are part of, as we are, the great spirit, great God. So they're not saying that they're God, but they can do things that are way beyond us that seem godlike. Is that correct, Sam?
That's correct. Actually, above Category 9, that would be Category 10. That would be the creator of the universe, the great ether or God. They can join and rejoin the great ether, appear and disappear at will. They say that joining or rejoining the great ether is a bliss, is a wonderful feeling, which is much better feeling than some of the feelings that people who experience near-death experiences experienced. So it's a very, very wonderful feeling. But God is not, that God doesn't have a shape, doesn't have a figure, doesn't have a body. It's a pure spirit. But the Theubans have physical bodies. So that's the difference. And in the Bible, when people say, when Jehovah spoke something like that, when there's a human figure or like a God-like figure speaking something, they're saying that it's them, the Jehovahs or Theovans. But God, the creator of the universe, is a pure spirit without a physical body.
Got it. Samuel Chong, always fascinating to talk to you. I admire your courage coming out here on the air, spreading the message. I mean, you know, Michelle is gone. You've got the book. Tell people where they can pick up the book and where are you in the getting mass distribution and publishing deal for this book? Where can people find it as it is? And where are you in the process of getting a big, big deal for this?
The book can be found on Amazon by searching the title Theova Prophecy, THIAOOUBA Prophecy. For people who want to listen to the book, people can find it on Audible, and it's read by a British person so that people can pay more attention to.
Fantastic. And again, three times, right?
Yes. read it three times, Theova Prophecy. Yeah.
Well, you've been on the show twice. Let's wait a little while, and I'm going to read the book again, and then we'll have you come back on, and we'll talk it one more time. Thank you, Sam.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
It's Guys Guy Radio.
Okay, another fascinating conversation with our friend Samuel Chong, who lives up in LA and has devoted years of his life. He's a court reporter, but now I believe he's an attorney, and he's devoted years of his life promoting the Theova Prophecy. It's just an amazing story, and he's an amazing guy. And what I would suggest, if you decide you want to pick up the book, read the book. I think there's an audio version now, The Theova Prophecy by Michelle Desmarquet, that you just say, what if, and keep an open mind. Because it would be so easy to just say, that's BS. What do you mean, these 8-foot beings that are half male, half female, and live in a galaxy nine universes away, and they're at a level of consciousness that's nine levels above humanity, and they've got answers to so many things, and they communicate telepathically, etc. I think you have to have an open mind, and then you make your own determination, and that's what we do on Guys Radio. We bring you the guests that have information that should stimulate some thinking and some conversation. So Guys Radio, we're here every Wednesday evening at 8 p.m. Pacific Time on KCAA Radio in Southern California, 106.5 FM, 1050 AM. The show rebroadcasts every Saturday and Sunday on KCAA. I believe it's 8 p.m. on Saturday, 6 p.m. on Sunday. The podcast, YouTube, and Rumble air worldwide on Thursdays. If you want to watch the show, you can watch the YouTube and Rumble interview portion of the show. And the podcast is on all major platforms around the world. And then every weekend, we're on UK Health Radio, the world's largest health talk station in the world. It's digital. We're on four times every weekend, plus on demand, so you can catch us pretty much whenever you want. And I write a column for UK Health Radio's Health Triangle magazine. It's called Aging is a Choice, where I tackle the myths about and narrative about aging that we've been fed in our culture here, and also get into a lot of the practices I do to keep myself as young and vital as possible. Now, you can also catch more information about me and the whole Guys world and movement on my website, robertmanni.com. I've got over 300 blog posts about life, love, the pursuit of happiness. You can also download 3 free chapters of my novel, The Guys Guide to Love, which is really the source material for everything we do here on Guys Radio. It's a sexy romp through the fast-moving, high-stake world of Madison Avenue, about two guys in advertising in the city having a friendship and having a rivalry and fighting for love, sex, power, and money. It's been called the man's successor to Sex in the City. You can download 3 free chapters and then pick up the book wherever you buy books, and you can get the physical or the ebook, of course. So Guys Radio, we're here for you every week, and what I do is I want to bring all different types of information that can potentially help you live your best life and add value, or it's something that could just stimulate you to be thinking about, like, what if? And I think in the case of today's show, and thank you again, Samuel Chong, that we want to just keep an open mind and say, what if? What else is out there? What might be beyond what's right in front of our eyes? So that's what we do here on Guys Radio. So I want to thank all my wonderful guests I've interviewed over the years. I want to thank my wonderful producer, Chris. I want to thank my strategy lead, Ryan. And most of all, I want to thank you, our growing audience, because we just keep going and going and going. So thank you, thank you, thank you. We're going to see you next week. And until then, like I always say, guys, finish first.